Blog Talk Radio. good evening, ladies and gentlemen of Twin Cities, Millennium and Paragon Cities. This is Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Bogoman, broadcasting live from the Paragon Radio news satellite of high altitude, a high orbit, if you will, 0.0061 feet above sea level. You figure that one out, do the math. Yes, we were off last week for American Independence Day. Glad to be back this week. Much to talk about. So let's get things rolling. But before we do, let me bring on a good friend of mine. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. We call him Mad Viking.
And finally feeling human again.
Now I got that song in my head, You're Only Human. You son of a bitch. You bastard.
It could be worse.
I know. There could be other songs.
For those who don't know, I caught COVID for the third time. That was my first reaction, and then some of my relatives said the exact same phrase. For the third time? It's like, yes. For the third time.
Third time's charm. Third time's a charm, buddy boy.
Yeah. Now, the doctor in question said, because where I live in the Catskills, it is a visiting place for the people from New York City. Pogoman knows that there are certain areas of New York City where the people in question, and they're rather tribal in some areas, are not known to be kind when it comes to viruses. And suspects that I was near one person, and that's how I got it.
These people in question are very questionable when it comes to their behavior and life choices. Such as, doctors, we don't need no stinking doctors.
But, you know, that's the assumption, and there is some truth to it.
Sad to say. Like, for example, there is a Instagram/TikTok video of a woman pulling up to a hospital, and the ambulance has that thing in the back that has to go down automatically. So they have a guy in a gurney or wheelchair or whatever trying to get out. The woman pulls all the way up to the back of the ambulance so they can't let it down. This woman refuses to back up. People are asking her to back up, rolls down the passenger window, has a water spray bottle, and is spraying people. We think it's water. We don't know in the video. And she's spraying people like, get away from me. I'm just going to sit here. If you don't like it, I'll get closer. Gets out of the car. Finally, like one of the head nurses, somebody, an admin from the hospital says, first of all, you're not supposed to, this is for ambulances only, and you are way too close. Oh, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. And you have to leave. She gets out of the car with the water, starts spraying her like crazy. Security comes out, sprays them. She's, get in your car and leave. Oh, I'm getting my car. I ain't leaving. And the admin, I don't know how the hell she has her patience with her. And everybody in like the comments is like, if ever a time was justified for somebody to get clocked, and the judge would rule in favor of the person doing the clocking, now is that time. Because even the ambulance moved up, she moved right up behind. Like, are you kidding me? Because first her defense was she was waiting for somebody. And Miss Thing's attitude was, I do what I want when I want. You can't stop me. I was like, holy shit. That went on. Also, I just want to make you aware, people. If you play a reptilian or reptoid type hero or villain, be careful on the airplanes. There's a woman who gets to check you, even in disguise, and she will point you out to the entire airplane. Yes, that was the big thing on the internet last week. She will find you, point you out, scream to the entire airplane, and then demand to be let off.
I was like, I saw that. Three movies came right to mind. One, the obvious, Z.
Okay, yes.
The second one, The X-Files, The Truth Is Out
There. Okay.
And then finally,
there's a third one involved. Sunglasses.
Oh, there was a third one involved, and that is courtesy of Rowdy Roddy Piper. They Live.
And she wasn't wearing sunglasses. I knew you were going to pick that one. I said, nope, no sunglasses were involved in the making of that video.
All that was missing was I came here to kick ass and chew bubblegum. And
right.
I'm all out of bubblegum.
but somebody was on the plane sitting next to the two of them, and he observed the whole thing. Why he didn't video any of this, I have no idea. But he says this is what he heard. The woman was talking to the stewardess, saying, "Well, what's the?" It's like, I'm talking to the guy, and he's not saying anything. The stewardess, you know, it's a long flight, so like, okay, you're in middle flight. Is this and this? What do you want? And he went down the list, and he just nodded his head when they got to the one, and she repeated it. But she's talking, like, the person is talking to him the whole time, not responding. Doesn't have, like, earphones in, just making gestures. Now, he could have had laryngitis for all you know, right? The guy says, he looks at me, smiles, and winks, and looks ahead forward. He goes, it took me 30 seconds to realize when he winked, his eyelids didn't go up and down, they went sideways. Like a real lizard. So he's thinking, oh shit, she was right. But he goes, as you can see, I'm here. Everybody got off the plane. Okay. So they don't, you know, obviously he had a hood on. He wanted to be left alone, even if he was one. So just, you know, he was the only one on the plane like that, as far as I know. Just leave the guy alone. You know, and I've seen many things, read many things on the internet over the years. You know, I love a good alien conspiracy story that they're in the government, they're in cahoots, they've been here for thousands of years. If they don't want themselves to be known to the public, it's not going to happen. Okay, it's not going to happen, because let me tell you, this is how they covered it up. Oh, everybody swears now, like a few days later, oh, we saw her at the bar drinking. Now, there's no video of this, okay? There's no documented proof of this either. It seems she was drinking before she got on the plane. Now, while she's yelling, there's no, like, she's not acting drunk. She's just yelling and screaming, and she's not slurring her words. Her movements aren't that of a drunk person. They said she was drunk off her ass. She went back to the bar, and after 2 hours, apologized and wanted to get back on the plane. This is what people are saying. Right, but everybody's like, where's your proof that this happened? The believers are saying, where's your proof this happened? Because it's funny that the video of her complaining, and, you know, it's funny that the person calling out the reptoid or whatever it is, you know, is there, but then the cover-up, really? Okay, so where's the proof from the airport security cameras that this is what happened? Oh, we don't know. Oh, you don't know now to prove that she was drinking at the bar for 2 hours. Because according to her, she left the airport altogether. So, okay. It's funny how the cover-ups never have the video proof. That's all I'm saying, guys. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, the internet is crazy. Either way, one side is real, one side is crazy.
Oh, two more came to mind. Men in Black,
yeah.
Gills, actually.
Yes.
He was breathing because you were chasing him. And the other one, the Twilight Zone, there's something.
Oh, yeah, to that.
On the wing
of the plane. That's right. And years later, well, John Lithgow did that same thing in the Twilight Zone, the movie. So, there. There you go.
Like I said, some, you just can't make some of this up. You can try.
That's what I mean. So, and it's funny, like every chat room I saw, they were 50-50. She was nuts, and people said, hey, they exist. There's other videos of... Oh, and then there was another one I saw over the weekend. Joe Biden is a clone. That's not the real Joe Biden. He's there to ruin America. And right away I said, that explains everything. Okay, we'll stick with that one.
Yeah, whatever they got, pass that over.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that one. That's why I play superhero. That's why I read comic books, fantasy adventure, sci-fi, write stuff, play role-playing games, play these games with you good people, because it's more normal than reality these days. Yeah, I can handle talking to a talking teddy bear and a robotic techno kitty in a mad Viking and an old man Bob and a mad DJ Jester and all other wonderful members of Paragon Dawn, all you beautiful people in Silver Regret, and all those beautiful people Paragon Dawn and a Hell Lord Satan and who else we have over here in Pogus Rings and I know I'm forgetting some people. I'm sorry, my tooth is still bad. I'm still looking for a viable dental plan. I have a dental plan I'm paying $70 a month for. I don't know if I mentioned this on air. I got it back at the end of February, beginning of March. They said it's going to kick in April. Yes, the plan kicks in April, but I can't have any dental work done for a full year.
What?
Yep. That's what they said. I can have x-rays done. I can have a checkup done. I can have my teeth clean, but God forbid that tooth I have that's killing me, they can't work on it. I can have somebody work on it. I pay full cost until next March. It's like, holy shit, I'm over to a dental plan. So I talked to somebody with my main insurance, and I got this poor reception over the weekend. I just got on the phone with somebody about 2 hours ago before I had to go shopping, get dinner, cook dinner, and then start getting ready for the show. And they said to me, oh, yeah, all you do is go on the website and do this and that. I'm like, if I knew that Friday, I would have spent the entire weekend looking this up. Because Friday, I tried talking to somebody, and the connection was horrible.
Hey, hey. Well, let's get some things out of the way. Here we go.
Now that all that craziness that we missed last week with all the non-essentials, let's get to the essential. Get you.
All right. Ship of Heroes. Nothing.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Let's see here. City of Titans. I got something. I got gold. We got an update. We have an actual update from.
I will give it.
From July 6th. It was from July 6th, which means that would be Thursday. So we wouldn't have been able to read it last week anyway. So, it's called Making Room for the City, a launcher update. All right. Here we go. I'm so happy I get to read it. Happy summer, everyone. We have a lot of projects in the work. So, as we roll on into Independence Day, that already happened, we'd like to take a few minutes to talk about some of the features and additions we'll be bringing to you in the next game patch. There's a lot to talk about here, so let's get started. First off, new launcher software. The biggest new feature is the introduction of a self-updating launcher for both PC and Mac users. Up to now, the launcher that we have been using has worked well, but we realize that very soon the game's needs will expand past what it is able to do. The new launcher is built to be...
Should have said soon,
what?
PM.
Oh, right. Able to do, sorry. Soon, PM. The new launcher is built to be fully 64-bit. This means it can handle files larger than 4 gigabytes. If you're wondering why this is important, it removes one of the biggest roadblocks we've had to bringing you more of our world map. Our world map is bigger than 4 gigabytes, and the old patcher just couldn't handle it. With the help of some volunteers from our Discord, we have been testing the new launcher to make sure that it not only updates and loads the game as before, but is also capable of updating itself as necessary. That's the test. Tester T-Sync sums up the process very well. The new launcher is efficient, convenient, and more importantly, easy. Everything from patching to checking for updates is done literally with the press of a button, with a wait time of around 10 to 15 minutes to complete. And tester Gray Stone, two words, comments, the new launcher has a much more modern look and feel to it. Not only will we be able to quickly update the game software as before, but we will also be able to seamlessly make changes to the launcher itself as the game continues to expand. An additional feature is the inclusion of a small message window on the launcher itself that we'll be able to use to communicate with players soon. TM.
TM.
When we release the patch, I said TM. When we release this patch, the update to the launcher will happen automatically. Just click the patch/start button as usual, and the software will take care of the rest. The first run of the new software will take a little longer than usual, as it verifies and adds new files it needs. The new patcher will also loop a few times on the first run as it downloads itself, launches, patches itself, then patches the game. This may look a little odd, but this is exactly what it should be doing. Other than that, the process should be seamless. Your existing character costume files will not be changed. Our next topic, new combat changes. There will be a few changes made to the combat system we introduced in our last patch. Soon, TM.
TM.
To select a target in combat, you'll now use Tab instead of F. This is a familiar layout that should feel comfortable to most players since it's been used in many, 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 many other games. Tab, or Shift plus Tab, will select the nearest NPC target if you don't already have one selected. Both of those will also cycle through targets in range, with Tab moving forward and Shift plus Tab moving backward through the choices. Your selected target will be highlighted, and your camera will turn to face that target. F is now used to clear your target selection. As a note, click targeting has not been added in this patch, but we will be implementing that in the future soon. TM.
TM.
Combat has also been streamlined to feel smoother and more dynamic. You'll be able to flow from one target to the next much easier than before. More improvements to combat will be coming in future patches soon. TM. As a reminder, your current hotkeys for combat are Tab or Shift Tab equals target. 1 equals punch. 2 equals kick. 3 equals range attack. 4 equals your point blank area of effect attack. And F clears your target selection. We're not going to be quizzed on this later. I'm not quizzing anybody on this later. These are detailed choices for testing. We are currently working on selectable keybinds, and we'll be adding those in a future patch soon. TM.
TM.
They've added a new movement ability. A new movement ability is teleportation. This patch adds a foundation for a teleportation movement ability. To activate teleport, press and hold T on your keyboard. This will bring up a small golden icon as your targeting marker. The icon will appear directly in front of you and can be moved around with your camera controls. Move the icon to where you want it, release T, and off you go. At the end of each jump, you'll have a few moments of hovering to reorient for your next hop, letting you chain jump together to move rapidly across the map. For now, teleportation has a fixed range, but we will be testing improvements as we move forward. Soon, TM.
TM.
As a reminder, for now, you have the ability to control the in-game weather. P will open and close the control panel for that. This will only be available while we're still testing. At some point, we'll be removing this feature, and it will not be available to players in the live game. We will still have dynamic weather in the game, but it will be on an automatic rotation. Coming soon, TM. That was their words. Now that we'll be able to bring you more of the city. For more information about that and future updates, here's a preview of some of the exciting things we're working on. Okay. Pictures, lovely pictures. They were just pictures. Sorry, guys. All right. Yeah. We'll tell you more about those in a future update. Soon, PM.
PM.
As always, thanks to Am I Evil? Lathor, Riathor, Voidforge, Red Warlock, and Warcabit from the development team for all their effort in making all this work. And additional thanks to our backer volunteers, D-Sync, Deathage, Macklin, Lady Kitsune, Kolbata, Azurine, that was a rough one, and Greystone helping chase down bugs and being willing test subjects. Okay. And if you want to discuss this update, cityoftitans.com/forum/discuss-making-room-city. Okay. That was a hell of an update. But, as Rain would say, still not done.
And now...
Still not there.
I'm going to offer a challenge to our people who are listening. If you've been enjoying this show on Blog Talk Radio, tell your friends so they can listen, and hopefully this channel will grow back to what it was way back in the beginning. I remember Pogaman being very, very proud of all these listeners coming in. And, it ebbs and rises, you know, just like, tide. And so start telling your friends, have them listen, even just for a little bit, so they get an idea if they like it or not.
Lately, it's been low tide, ebbs and tides. It's been low tide lately. Anyway, I'm not going to complain. I do it for you people. Anyway, joining us tonight in the City of Heroes, we have Mad Viking myself and my sidekick, Pogo Spring, is here. Over on Champions Online, myself and Mad Viking, of course, Alan and the Teddysons, Mr. Num Num and Clarence, and Silver Egret. Oh, and Silver Egret said my sister and her husband has gotten COVID twice. But Silver Egret has been lucky enough, avoided it so far. Knock on wood, cross your fingers, now that you said that. All right, let's see. I got some updates here.
But before you get to the updates, you do want to plug something that's happening later on this month.
Oh, yeah.
You're in charge of it.
I do. Yes. Silly me. Okay. On the week... Hold on. Yes, because we're less than 2 weeks away, people. We are less than 2 weeks. We don't even have a promo for it. We got to get a promo for that thing. Yeah. Where's my calendar app? I have a calendar set up for this, though. All right. Yes. Technically starting on the 20th. No. The 20th to the 23rd with a preview night, hopefully on the 19th of July. So technically 19th. Now we're 9 days away. God, we're a week and a half away. I don't even know what we got set up for this thing. We're 9 days away. Oh, shit, I'm in trouble.
Now you know
why
I start like January, February.
Yeah, I know. All right, 9 days away. We have nothing planned yet. I'm asking for volunteers to help. No one stepped up yet.
No. Alan did volunteer.
I was just about to say... Yeah. The only thing I know for sure, I don't know how it's going to start, the beginning. I know how it's going to end Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, Canadian Wilderness, that one long strip of road by Argent. Alan's going to be our flagman starter for the traditional Fast and the Furious event on the 23rd at 2 p.m. Eastern. I know how that...
remember a whole lot of people saying if push comes to shove, we just have the Saturday thing. So if it's the Saturday thing, then you got to talk to Coconut.
I was talking to the Bunnies about maybe do on Bunny Night doing like a superhero movie, not Puma Man, doing something. Okay, cool, Silver Girl, thank you. Doing something like that, because that's usually our kickoff night. And then Thursday, I know it's Metal Day, but maybe they could, I don't know how they're going to do anything for that, making it more like a superhero themed.
Yeah.
See, that's hard to do. Metal Thursday. Or make it Dawn Con, you know, make it Dawn Con themed. That's going to be hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've done it before.
Okay. We just got to let them know this week.
Have faith.
Got to let them know. I will. We just got to let them know. Well, who's going to be there? Who? Is Militia back yet?
I don't know. Remember, I've been under.
Right. Okay. And DJ Earl, I got to send messages. Yeah, I got to send some messages. And DJ Thunderstruck, he's back, right?
Yeah, I do believe so.
Okay. All right, we'll figure it out. All right. And then we just got to figure out events.
Mm-hmm.
This will be so much fun.
Then the only thing I have to worry about then is the anniversary of Dawn Radio, which happens August 31st, and that falls on a Thursday. It's Metal Day.
Okay.
Well, probably I'll do something on Wednesday, but yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Now we can get to the updates.
Yes. But first, we missed an anniversary last week. Mm-hmm. July 7th. Marked. Oh, a Swag Hammer. I hope he's available for an interview. On Saturday.
George Mosley in the chat, so
yeah.
If he's listening,
that's what I was thinking.
Oh, that was a hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. Gotcha.
Yes. If you're listening, Swag Hammer, please answer in the chat right there. While I do this, it was July 7th, 25 years ago. That would be 1998. Bash at the Beach, WCW. It was the Outsiders, Hall and Nash, versus Team Lex Luger, the Macho Man, and Sting. But the Outsiders had a third partner. Nobody knew who it was. The Outsiders had the upper hand. They beat up Sting and Luger on the outside. They were beating the tar out of the Macho Man. All of a sudden, Hulk Hogan comes strutting down to the ringside. And everyone's like, he's going to save us. And I think Bobby Heenan is the one who said, yeah, but whose side is he on? Earlier that day, I talked to a friend of mine. And I said, you notice the Outsiders are from WWF/WWE? Yeah. Hogan's from WWF/WWE. No, that's impossible. That wouldn't happen. He climbs in the ring. The scatter. Hogan off the ropes. Hits the leg drop on the Macho Man. He's the third outsider. And ladies and gentlemen, what should have been one of the greatest factions of all time, the New World Order of Professional Wrestlers, Hulk Hogan said that night, or the NWO was born. The reason it failed so soon, it was like everybody in that company joined. You know, it got to the point in 2 years, maybe three, 2.5 years, it was like there might have been like maybe 10 people in that company that never joined the NWO. And that's when the problem arises. Like we were talking about the four horsemen, minus valets and managers, you only ever had four wrestlers. And that's how it should have been. Like, look at the bloodline going on WWE right now. There's only four wrestlers and one manager. They come from a huge wrestling family, but only four wrestlers in the bloodline. Look at Judgment Day. Only four wrestlers. Keep it soul. Keep it simple. And that was it. And to celebrate that momentous occasion, I give you this. I can just picture us dressed like them, walking around. Right, walking into a costume contest dressed like them.
Yep.
Alan with a black headband on, wearing all black. What you looking at? I snap you, that's what I do.
So Alan is six-pack?
I don't know.
Eight-pack.
Are we good now?
Yep.
That's enough. It just repeats. It's enough. You got the gist of it. All right. You get the gist of that. All right. That was some really fun. Now, on to some updates. I mean, we did the gaming updates. Let's go on to some news you might have missed. Okay, most of the news revolves around some who you might have heard of coming out, Deadpool 3. And we know Hugh Jackman is going to be Wolverine in this one. But here we go. So this is from July 7th with a new report reveals. This is courtesy of Superhero Hype, by the way. A new report reveals that Hugh Jackman will finally don the iconic blue and yellow Wolverine costume for Deadpool 3. Courtesy of, oh God, here we go. Entertainment Scooper at Can We Get Toast initially broke the story on Instagram in the wake of Deadpool 3 set pics from London getting leaked out. According to his report, the Scooper reveals that Jackman will be seen in the classic X-Men attire, including his signature mask, inspired by his look from Marvel Comics' Astonishing X-Men run in 2003. He reports that while the suit will be largely identical to the comic art, the one major change for the movie will be the addition of sleeves to Jackman's attire.
All right.
As you
a
remember.
Comic,
yep. Just remember, it just went to the shoulders, and it was sleeveless until you got to the gloves.
Maybe you didn't have the enough hair on the arms.
Maybe. Well, in the comic, he didn't have much hair in his arms either, because it was all muscle. So the depiction of the X-Men costume.
He was hirsute, and I don't mean his rabid form when they yanked the bones
right
out.
Right, the feral Wolverine. Right. Right, but he's shown with dark hair on his arms, right? But the picture I'm looking at here, he has, like, no hair. Like, he's just been clean-shaven. Right, in the Astonishing X-Men run, though, his costume, it had, like, it and pointed out a little bit at the shoulders, and then up until, like, he had three-quarter length gloves that went three-quarters way up his forearm to his elbows, almost to his elbows. So. And, of course, this movie is scheduled to, as of right now, it's scheduled to be released May 3rd, 2024. And, of course, they've been teasing this costume for a while, so.
Many, many, many promos where they opened up the suitcase, and there it was, the mask.
Right. Well, even in the original X-Men movie, when they're wearing the black suits, the black leather suits, and Wolverine goes, you actually wear these things out in public, and Cyclops retorts, well, what would you prefer, yellow spandex?
Yes, the answer was,
well, yes! Yep, because he's wearing the yellow spandex now. He's going to wear it May 3rd. We're getting closer to it. Okay, more Deadpool 3 news. From the same day, Daredevil alum, not the TV series, the original movie with Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner, is said to reprise her role as Elektra Nagios in a Marvel Studios in Deadpool 3. So this is going to the Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah, that was what? The Ben Affleck run.
Right, that was and that spawned her spinoff movie that was. It made the Daredevil that movie made the Daredevil his Daredevil movie look good. So. I think that's why she did it, because they were dating at the time. They were going out at the time, and then all right. Anyway, multiple sources have confirmed that Garner will play Elektra in Deadpool 3, currently in production. And of course, we said she first played Elektra in the 2003 20th Century Fox film Daredevil, which of course starred Ben Affleck as the Man Without Fear, and then she reprised the role in the 2005 spinoff film Elektra. Okay, of course, everybody knows Daredevil was created by Frank Miller, but Elektra first appeared in October 1980's Daredevil number 168. In 2003, Garner became the first actor to play the character in live action. Years after her 2005 solo film, the screen rights to Daredevil and his supporting characters reverted to Disney and Marvel Studios. In 2016, Elodie Young took over as Elektra for the MCU-adjacent Netflix original series, Marvel's Daredevil. Young reprised a role for the crossover limited series, Marvel's The Defenders, which hit Netflix in 2017. All right, so according to this article, who else is in Deadpool 3? I bet you're wondering. Well, of course, we're going to see Ryan Reynolds as Wade Wilson slash Deadpool. He's jumping from Fox's now-defunct X-Men universe to the MCU. He's not coming alone. It's also going to feature, as we've stated many, many, many times, the return of Hugh Jackman as James Logan Howlett slash Wolverine. Other Fox Deadpool alums reprising their roles for Marvel Studios' threequel includes Marina Baccarin, Leslie Uggams, Karen Soni, Brianna Hildebrand, Shelo Kutsuna, sorry about that, Stefan Kapisik, thank you, and Rob Delaney. Whew. To that end, Deadpool 3 is expected to feature a prominent multiverse element. It's even been reported that the MCU film will integrate characters from Fox's other defunct Marvel franchises, not just X-Men. These include Fantastic Four and, of course, Daredevil. In fact, a recent rumor suggests that aforementioned Affleck will appear as Daredevil himself. However, Garner's reprisal as Elektra is the film's first non-Deadpool slash X-Men legacy casting to be confirmed by a major trade publication. Other unconfirmed reports claim that Owen Wilson will reprise his role as Time Variance Authority agent Mobius M. Mobius from Marvel Studios' Disney Plus series Loki. This would be unsurprising given Deadpool 3's apparent emphasis on both time travel and the multiverse. At any rate, what is confirmed is that Deadpool 3 will also feature Marvel newcomers Emma Corrin and Matthew McFadden. The roles are being kept under wraps, though Corrin is said to be playing a villain. And as we said, of course, May 3rd, 2024 is the release date.
Now, I would laugh if Chris Evans replays the Human Torch.
That would be, yes.
Or at least have the Human Torch meet Captain America. And they're like, that is America's ass. Yes, it is.
That would be fun. Okay, now, the thing about Affleck, and that article came out on the 7th. On July 4th, an article came out. Ben Affleck will reportedly reprise Daredevil role. So this is the article now about Affleck. After rumors of Ben Affleck being on the set of Deadpool 3 came out, one insider has reported that the actor will be playing Daredevil once again. So, insider, this guy, Can We Get Some Toast, posted a video on TikTok claiming that Ben Affleck would indeed be reprising his role as Matt Murdock / Daredevil in Deadpool 3. And, of course, this comes alongside reports of the movie being, quote-unquote, the No Way Home of Fox's X-Men universe, suggesting that other iterations of Marvel characters from earlier non-MCU films may be present in the movie. So besides Ryan Reynolds returning as a title character, this is just a repeat of what I just read in the last article. Let's see. Okay, additionally. I'm just skipping through paragraphs. I've read stuff about. Okay, additionally, it has been rumored that Jackman will be joined by his original X-Men film trilogy co-stars, Halle Berry, who played Storm, Famke Jensen, who played Jean Grey, and James Marsden, who played Cyclops. Okay, and of course they mentioned Emma Corrin and Matthew McFadden again. And of course they stayed on undisclosed cast members. Okay, I gotta step away from the Marvel Universe for a moment. I didn't mention it. I didn't mention this because we were on last week. Last Monday, I saw the Flash movie. James Gunn, shame on you. If you think that's the greatest superhero movie of all time, I want to find you, hunt you down, and slap you. I'm going to slap you once for every dollar I spent in that movie, including my concessions. Yes, I call it concessions because the thing, it doesn't say snack bar, it says concessions. I bought some pretzel nuggets that were very soft and tasty, and I bought a large Diet Pepsi because I didn't have Diet Coke. And for that alone, I'm going to slap you twice. So, 30 slaps on each cheek of your face. The only justice I find is this article. Ezra Miller says they, I don't know who they are, been unjustly targeted after protective order expiration. I bet it's all the fans who saw the movie. Oh, by the way, I don't have the article. For the fourth week in a row, ticket sales for this movie have dropped tremendously. Like week one, it did okay. Week two, dropped. Week three, dropped further. After I bought my ticket, it was reported some movie theaters were considering removing the movie because sales had dropped so far for 3 weeks only. I wouldn't be surprised if The Flash came to Disney by like the end of September already. That's just my thing. I'm just throwing it out there. Anyway, so a temporary protective order against The Flash actor Ezra Miller in Massachusetts has been lifted. And now Miller is calling the initial move an unjust way of targeting them. Okay, Miller's family was seeking fame. In June 2022, a harassment protective order was issued against Miller after the mother of a 12-year-old non-binary child accused Miller of acting inappropriately around... Yeah, I had to reread that. A 12-year-old non-binary child? Okay. Yeah, I think I'm leaning with Miller on this one. Okay, look, from now on, I don't think you can be non-binary until you're at least 18. This shit's got to stop. This has got to stop. Anyway, the mother accused Miller of acting inappropriately around the child. Specifically, the family said that Miller was aggressive toward them during visits and that in one instance that Miller denied, Miller visited the family wearing a gun. It was really uncomfortable. I was really nervous. I was scared to be around them after they'd yelled at my mother, and she was crying, said the child in a report from the Daily Beast. A year after the order was given, a judge in Massachusetts has let it expire, and in a statement on Instagram, Miller called out the family for unjustly and directly targeting them, as well as calling the family out for seeking attention on pleading tabloid fame. Protective orders are meant to provide safety for individuals, families, and children who are in danger. They are not meant to be used as weapons by those seeking attention or fleeting tabloid fame or some sort of personal vengeance when there are people in true and dire need of these services, said Miller in the statement. Trouble has followed Miller for some time over the past few years. No kidding. Like last year, for example, the 29-year-old actor was charged with felony burglary after allegedly stealing alcohol from a Vermont home. Miller was also arrested last April and booked on suspicion of second-degree assault. A month prior to that, Miller was arrested on charges of disorderly conduct and harassment in Hawaii. Yes.
All right. I got one article I have to read. There we go.
Okay.
Back to the Future reboot takes $1 million during the first week. There is a Back to the Future, the musical, which just recently hit Broadway. The opening night. Back to the Future, the musical, has finally landed on Broadway. Its official opening night is still a few weeks away, but last week, 4 early previews at the Winter Garden Theater has sold out, a nabbing a staggering $1,035,256, according to the Deadline. This comes to no real surprise, though, considering the show had taken the West End Adelphi Theater in London by storm since 2021, which now been extended till October, meaning both versions of the show will enjoy simultaneous performances. Written by Bob Gale, the writer and producer of the 3 Back to the Future films, with music and lyrics composed by Alan Silvestri, who also scored the film, and Glenn Ballard, Back to the Future. The musical is an excellent adaptation of the 1985 film of the same name and serves as a reboot in its own right with an all-new cast and some fun alterations. Like the film, it's been an enormous hit with audiences and critics. Even won the Laurence Olivier Award for Best New Musical, the What's on Stage Awards, and the Broadway World Awards in 2022. In fact, it has been so popular as well received that a North American tour has been set for 2024. But does that mean there may be a Back to the Future 4 in the process? Now, Christopher Lloyd has been interested, but Michael J. Fox, due to what he has, is more than likely not to show. But I'm just curious, and I want to go to YouTube, and I want to look for the music to this program, because for some reason, there's got to be a song coming from...
Huey Lewis in the News?
Chuck
Berry?
An original song and by Biff Tannen going, I hate manure. There's got to be a song.
I'll just say, Make a Katrine Get Out.
There's another one right there.
There you go.
Name every phrase and just screw it up.
That's right. That's right.
I got to look now to see if there's music.
I saw
on
that. I scrolled past that article earlier, and I thought they re-released it in the movie theater because I heard they're doing that with some movies this year. I was like,
no, it's on Broadway, which one.
Okay.
This is Back to the Future is great. Says about the creativity about the people on Broadway when they got to redo TV, comics, and movies. But like I said, I'm just curious. The Biff Tannen song. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah. Oh my.
I'm hoping there is, you know, either what you said with the always screwing up the phrases, or there's an I
yeah.
manure song. Well, this is Broadway. You would actually say shit.
Yeah, they would say it. But they would say it.
I mean, when Mel Brooks is more comfortable on Broadway because he knows he can get away with it, that says something. Even though John Cleese, as I said on the last one, when they were talking about doing Life of Brian as a musical.
Right.
Not as a musical, I'm sorry. As a show, because there is a musical, the opera, in which Pokemon, I do believe you did see. Not the Messiah, he's a very naughty boy, he was all opera.
Right.
But,
yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, but when they're complaining about that one scene with Loretta, I'm going like, really? You're going to challenge John Cleese. I said it before, I'll say it again. You do not challenge John Cleese to an intellectual conversation. You will lose.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember,
wow.
I just recently saw an article where Eric Idle was interviewing John Cleese, and he says, you do not get angry, you get irritated. He goes, yes, I get irritated, because if you get angry, then you just lose the war right there. So I get mildly irritated. I'm going, so if he's irritated, you did something wrong.
Right. Okay, this is how bad the Flash movie was. You can now buy the Funko Pop movies DC The Flash for only $4.99. Wow. Congratulations, Ezra. You are now the world's cheapest brand new Funko Pop.
Now, they based it all on Kingdom Come, which explains the female Superman, the return of Michael Keaton as Batman.
You see some other ones too. You see some other versions of famous.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage appeared. Yeah.
Yes, and guess what? He and when you see him, he's fighting a giant spider. Does that sound familiar? That was going to be the plot of his movie. I'm like, oh shit, he's fighting a giant spider. I was cracking up.
Wasn't that the same time period where Wild Wild West was going to come? Going like,
okay, hold on. I got the story about that. There was a documentary. Whatever happened, Nicolas Cage's Superman. The original script, and Nicolas Cage asked him, or somebody. I think Kevin Smith was doing this documentary. And Nicolas Cage, somebody asked him, what's up with the giant spider? He goes, well, I watched this documentary a few nights ago. Spiders are the world's most fiercest, dangerous killers. So a giant one would be the most fiercest creature on the planet, and Superman would have to fight this thing, right? So that movie got canceled. The director, writer, whatever, went on to do The Wild Wild West. And what is that?
I knew it. There it is.
Yep, a giant steampunk spider. And Kevin Smith's watch is going, and there's this giant fucking spider. Holy shit, he finally got in the movie. And that's the connection. And I was cracking up. I was like, holy shit, they did find a giant spider in that one. It was steampunk. I don't know if that was really Nicolas Cage or was that CGI, but he looked like him. I gotta spoil this now. They did a thing of Christopher Reeve Superman standing next to Helen Slater Supergirl.
Okay, that's nice. That's a good, nice touch.
That was.
Right,
that was nice. I was like, holy shit, that's really cool. And of course, they did an Adam West Batman thing. No, it's all right. They're not doing anything. You're standing there in their own little things, and you hear things from the TV show. So
right.
They did these little tributes all the
time. Right.
So it wasn't
a total waste. You did get your nostalgia
You got nostalgia thing right towards the end. You got that. I'm not saying where and when, but you know that was with the thing with the Nicolas Cage and the giant spider. I'm like, oh shit, that's the callback to what was supposed to be his movie. So that I thought was really cool. That part. And then, of course, the connections to the Wild Wild West thing. So, I know it's something we could talk about for a few moments. Mm-hmm. You know when he talked about it? Kevin Smith, I think he talked about it on his comedy show. No. I think it was a night with Kevin Smith when he was doing all those college talks. It was on a few years ago. I forget what channel. It's got to be on YouTube or Netflix right now. This is years ago. And he was doing all these college campus tours. Not his last comedy special, because the last comedy special he did, that's the one where he did a special thing during the credits where that's where supposedly he almost died of a heart attack. And the doctor said because he was smoking pot before the show, his heart rate had slowed down so much that it saved his life. So he actually had T-shirts made that smoking pot saved his life. So, but it's been 2 weeks in the making, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, here they come. Why are you guys still dressed in red, white, and blue? You like the look. You guys are unbelievable. Oh, you were made in America. Well, okay, because I made you American. You guys are American. Okay. I thought we were going to go for an international thing.
American. Carry the boat right where they've been.
I can't tell you. On Instagram, TikTok, I saw that video. So many people posted that thing. And I felt like saying, and it's Hulk Hogan playing the guitar. I feel like Frank, that song wasn't even written for him. It wasn't even written for him originally. But if you don't know who it was written for, I'll get into it after we do this.
All right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if I say your arch nemesis is in this book, you need a major upgrade. Because in this book are representatives of oddball criminals from comic book history. These are members of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. So, we start with the Golden Age.
Okay. Where nothing naughty happens.
Oh, no. Just innuendos rumbling. Okay, first off, we have an enemy of Doll Man.
Ah, a recognizable name. All right.
That's right, yep. The Doll Man's a hero in this one. Created by Max Ilkin. And, here we go, an uncredited writer.
Oh, boy.
Right away, when you have an uncredited writer, you know we're in trouble. Debuted in Doll Man number 10 of Quality Comics, autumn 1946. Punch or Judy, definitely Punch. The quote, a chisel is a messy weapon, but effective. The villain, or villains, I should say, the murder marionettes. The tools of murder are typically much smaller than the men who wield them. But one enemy of the diminutive Doll Man extrapolated that idea to an almost absurd end by arming self-motivated marionettes with teensy, tiny knives. Brothers Anton and Peter Bolini made their careers with dolls, but where Peter was content to bring joy to children, his brother used dolls for more nefarious purposes. When Peter stumbles across his brother's secret experiments, he's sent running into the street with a wooden marionette clinging to his throat, stabbing him with a toy blade. Doll or not, observes Daryl Dean, Dollman's secret identity, who just happens to be driving past the scene of the crime. He just murdered a man. Changing to his pint-sized persona, Dollman continues to be amazed at the sight of a toy, slaying a full-grown man. This is the most hideous, fantastic murder I have ever witnessed, he thinks, and I have a feeling it's only the beginning. It is indeed, because Doll Man's girlfriend, Martha, witnessed the crime. She's soon threatened by the same knee-high homicidal is able to stop this murder, but wanders into the butterfly net of Mad Anton. This kind of thing happens to DM all the time. To be honest, it probably doesn't even faze him at this point. Back in the workshop, Anton explains the secret of his devious devices. The actograph disc, he announces proudly, holding a disc no larger than a quarter between his fingers. The disc, he explains, is like a phonograph record, only it records actions instead of sounds, and operates his puppets like a clockwork motor. I can make my little dolls kill, or rob anywhere, he boasts. I'll steal millions, and no one can stop me. Overconfident or not, Anton sticks his killer puppets on Dollman. Their simple robot brains, however, can handle only the most abstract commands, so when Anton programs them to rend anyone in their path, Dollman turns the tables by, well, knocking the puppet maker over a table, putting Anton in the path of his deadly dolls, and signaling an end to his great plans. As for the murder marionettes, Dollman defeats the terrible toys with almost no effort. He perches on the lampshade and simply waits for their batteries to run out, becoming possibly the only hero to vanquish his enemies because they were insufficiently charged.
Now, if they used Duracell, they would have lasted five times longer.
That's right. He would have been there all night to the next day. Mm-hmm. All right. Hold on a second. On to our next. Okay. This is an enemy of Swinging Sisson.
Okay.
You know, some of these hero names sound like enemies, I swear to God. All right, Swing Sisson. Created by Bill Martin. Debuted in Feature Comics number 52 of Quality Comics, January 1942. The Possible Secret Lairs, Hamlin, The Gates of Dawn. Now the Piper will resume his dance of death in other filthy theaters. Ew. The villain's name? The Piper. Super villainy was so ubiquitous in the earliest days of superhero comics that even folks not involved in law enforcement ended up battling the bad guys. That includes at least one popular swing band, which managed to attract its very own outrageously costumed arch-criminal in a high-stakes clash to avenge a thousand deaths. In his purple note-bedeckled tunic and tight green pants, and backed by a half-dozen hirelings in futuristic goggles, the Piper sported a look that in later decades would befit your average glam rocker or new wave musician. Armed with his Q-ray, the origins which remain unexplained, the Piper and his men aim to freeze the audience of a big city movie theater in their seats. See, paralyzed, he crows over the motionless form of an interfering usher, stiff as a board, while his agents, described as goggled and queerly garbed figures, modify a movie projector to blast the unsuspecting audience with enervating Q-rays. The Piper enchants them with a musical performance. As the audience stares, reads the caption, the Piper places the clarinet to his lips and begins a weird chanting tune. But the sudden silence following the Piper's clarinet solo attracts the attention of Swing Sisson. Crime-fighting band leader, Swing Who? As leader of New York's Ace Dance Band, claims the introduction to the story, Swing Sisson leads a life of high adventure. Adventure is indeed Swing's writ. As he and his partners in music arrive in the theater to discover the place in flames, with 1,000 audience members frozen in their seats. After a brief but unfortunate battle with the Piper and his men, Swing and his pals barely escape with their lives. The remaining audience members aren't so lucky. He just burned to death over 1,000 people who came to hear us play, muses Swing bitterly. We're going to deal with that bird personally. Meanwhile, the Piper, residing in his quote-unquote swanky private headquarters, is delighted. It turns out he's in it for revenge. I, Max Shane, alias the Piper, shall destroy the hundreds of theaters all over the country in which I was booed when I started to slip as a vaudeville actor. Before the Piper can embark upon an encore, however, Swing and his pals, Bonnie and Toby, interrupt the crooks. I don't know who these ickies are or what they're up to, gang, says Swing. But let's clean them up. Dakota comes quickly when Bonnie manages to acquire a Q-ray gun, freezing the felonious firebugs in their seats. So, in honor of Swing System, we should now call bad guys ickies.
When I heard Dickies, the Piper, I just all of a sudden had Rowdy Roddy Piper and voice in my head.
There you go. All right, there's one more. I just gotta find it. Where did I do it? Okay, hold on, it's up here. Here we go. We're going to the Silver Age. Oh, good Lord. Okay. Oh, my God. Okay, I just saw something online about this hero last night. I think I sent you the thing about him. There was a video about this hero, but... All right. So the hero's name is The Web. Created by Jerry Siegel and Paul Reinman, debuted in Mighty Comics number 40, Archie Comics, November 1966. His mother thinks he's actually quite a good-looking young man. This is about the villain. His quote, I'm to battle an ultra-hero instead of a quivering coward, eh? So be it, Web. Okay. The villain's name is Ugly Man. Seriously, this is getting kind of personal. One, two, really, we can't do any better than that. Okay. The supervillains may stand for any number of low ideals, and there are never-ending conflicts with the forces of justice, revenge, power, greed, even misguided heroism. However, Ugly Man might be the first, or perhaps only villain, albeit without his knowledge or consent, whose purpose was to confront a hero's midlife crisis. Billed as the henpecked hero, the Web spent the better part of the 60s attempting to sneak out of his house for a little superheroing on the side. In his glory days, he had been a famous crime fighter, but his wife, and occasionally mother-in-law, insists that he give up his spandex sideline in favor of a sedate suburban existence. Naturally, this sort of sedentary lifestyle would sit poorly with a bona fide man of action. Dealing with domestic disharmony and his fading fame, the Web is desperate to relive the great fights and triumphs of his early years, including his battle with a deadly arch criminal, the Vegetable, a giant pickle with arms, legs, and a head. Wow, it's Pickle Rick. Thus, he chooses Ugly Man as the means by which to reestablish his reputation. To be fair, Ugly Man is legitimately villainous. Driven by an overwhelming desire to kill, he targets the stars of Fab Film Corporation Studios. Why? In his own words, I'm ugly, they aren't. That's reason enough. Sounds reasonable to me. Decked out in what passes for medieval garb and occasionally slipping into a forced cod Elizabethan accent, Ugly Man matches wits and fists with the Web on two occasions. During their second go-round, the Web manages to unmask Ugly Man, revealing his terrible secret. He's not ugly at all. In fact, he's a movie star. Under his cosmetically calamitous headgear, Ugly Man is Ernie Misty, a rising star in the Fab Film franchise. Eager to speed his career, Misty attempts to open up new roles for himself by murdering a few of his older male peers. Of course, that all falls by the wayside when the youngster is sent to prison. As for the Web, despite a dramatic final battle with Ugly Man, which ends unglamorously in a pit of wet concrete, he's put on potato peeling duty at home as punishment. You can't win them all.
I'm glad it wasn't the DC hero Prez, because if memory serves me right, he had a cheerleader as one of his cohorts, and you could just hear her doing that cheer, U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. You could just hear that.
Right. Right, but this is actually the guy's name. It was like a disguise, so like no one would suspect. And I hate to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is the last of the Silver Age heroes.
Ah.
We have nothing but Golden Age left. So next week, we are going to be doing three. I guess we're going to be doing three Golden Ages a week till we're done with the book.
Yep.
Hold on. I just want to see something here. Hold on. I just want to check something.
Now you got to count how many remaining.
Yeah. Well, I know where I'm up to, so for next
week. Well, if it's not invisible by three, but it would be if we do one more tonight, then I say do a
four. No. Well, here's the deal. The final week, it would be two. So hold on. One, two, three. Two, three, four. Okay, so for 4 weeks, we'd have three, and then the fifth week, we'd have two.
Okay.
And remember, in 2 weeks, we're going to have our DawnCon recap. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's confirm, because actually Swag Hammer has responded asking time
okay.
and date. Now, we
okay.
talked about this before.
Yes.
Have the interviews of people during the podcast.
Right. If we, well.
And then whoever's doing a show can do a replay on one of the appropriate dates.
Right, because we could just record it. Or do you want to do the interview with him and then record it, or how should we do this?
Well, I was figuring Blog Talk, because then you have it. You can be the interviewer.
Right.
I get to be the...
Okay.
I get to be
right.
Ed McMahon, you are a wise man.
Right, so both will be there interviewing him. I could set up a thing on a different date. So whatever day is good for you, Mr. Swackhammer. It doesn't coincide, you know.
Oh, and one other thing. I did tell Evan Brooks to look for you. I did
okay.
tell Battle Rock Comics and...
Okay. Lou's friends? Lou's
yeah, I also told
friends.
Him. And they're all,
okay.
They're supposed to be getting a hold of you sometime. They just have to find you.
On Facebook? Or where? Here or where?
Facebook or on game.
Okay.
And,
well, they can just mess with our...
Right.
Which
now,
game? Heroes.
Well, I would assume Champions. Evan Brooks is not on either game. He's back entertaining now. So hopefully we get
okay.
to hear a new album. But one thing I did notice yesterday on the Digital Remastered Network, they were talking about doing an YouTube D&D game or something... either D&D or Space Marines with Warhammer, and I mentioned your
okay.
name to get along
right.
with him. You know, whether
right.
he DMs, you DM, whatever, you know, that's your guys' discussions.
Mm. Right, because right now, I'll make it public now, because it's coming up in a couple weeks, over listening. The friends I want us to join with, I'm doing a game with them, because their friend is a really good DM, but he's doing a homebrew campaign right now. But my friend's kids never played D&D, and she's really shy and nervous about doing it on a podcast. So she wants
right.
to get into the flow to see how we do things. So right now we just hit fourth level last week. So I'm going to talk to them this weekend about either you and Alto joining us at the end of DawnCon, or doing something. Maybe I could DM the one shot for you guys coming in. At the end, maybe just that night for a one-shot type thing or something of what's going
on.
I know Alto's. I will talk to them this week. I think we're playing Friday, and they want to play Friday night this week. So, because the thing is, they you know, go by the kids' schedules. So, because kids are working now. So
right.
So we go by there. So we usually play nighttime. So, like I said, I will talk to them and see what's going on. So, And I know she has a boyfriend. He lives out of state right now. And he has to do a thing, too, where he has to talk through the computer.
Boy, so, that sounds familiar to some degree.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will explain to them how we have to set it up with us in the conference room right around the corner from here in the WCOC building for you guys. So, and maybe, you know, all that good stuff. Because then I was thinking in August with the Extra Life thing, which we haven't promoted yet, there's a weekend they dedicate to tabletop role-playing. So I was thinking maybe we could do a special event for that.
Right.
Like a fundraising type thing. Because, like, I told you about this one. There's a special event we can do. Like, any money raised would actually benefit the group.
Mm-hmm.
Like you donate this much, the group gets re-rolls. You donate this much, they get potions of healing. This much, they get a literal extra life. Like, somebody dies by accident, they come back right away. Fun stuff like that. But we could discuss that another time.
Right.
Like I said, I got to talk to them. I'll talk to them for, I don't know, whatever night I'm going to see them. And I got to fix, I got to make your characters anyway, so. I have them here. I just never put them on character sheets, so, because I didn't have character sheets. Really quick, tomorrow and Wednesday is Amazon Prime Day, and I'm looking at a cheap printer. If it doesn't go on sale, it's like $59. If it doesn't go on sale, I'm just going to wind up buying it.
There you go.
By Wednesday night anyway, so it'll be here. So. For some reason, it's not hooking up to our new modem that my stepbrother bought, and he says, I tried to hook it up. It's not acknowledging it. Like, it's not Roman Reigns. He didn't get that reference. So. Sometimes I'm too witty for my own good. Oh, and Silver Egret posted a... Okay, Morty posted a photo of them on Discord. Okay, Morty posted a picture of the new costume. Yes. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is that costume is supposed to coincide with the... costume he's going to wear in the new X-Men 97 cartoon coming out soon. Boy, remember last summer we were talking about that? It's like, oh, God, it's over a year away. Why are we even talking about it? Yeah, it's coming out soon. That's what's funny about doing this show. It's like, how many times have we said, yeah, that movie's not coming out for a couple of years? Then it's like, okay, here's my review of that movie we talked about years ago. It's like, shit. Talked about a lot of movies on here. I think the best was talking about the all-female Ghostbusters movie. And we're not sexist, we just know it's going to suck. And then for months, the reviews from women, they go, I'm a woman, you know, reviewing, and it sucks. You know, it's like, go ahead, yell at her for being sexist. Go ahead. And then it came on cable, it was like, I saw it. It was horrible. It was, and somebody's trying to come in. No, it's like, all right, they made fun of Janine, the secretary, but they didn't treat her like she was, she actually had a brain, and they didn't make her stupid. Somebody said that, like, oh, they treated her like she was dumb. No, they didn't. Nobody treated her like she was stupid.
Now, sometimes, you know, dismissive. Yes,
right.
Yes,
because right, like it was just like Bill Murray's like, I don't want to hear it. Just leave me alone. That was it. Because you know he's just like, go do something. We're paying you. Yeah, you know, that was it. It wasn't like he didn't say you idiot, you stupid, you fraud. Yeah, you know, God forbid it was '80s, but he didn't say anything like that. You know, Egon found her very intellectually stunning. You know. Stimulating. So, hey.
I mean, even in Ghostbusters Afterlife, it was
yeah.
Ernie Hudson. It was Ernie Hudson's character and
yeah.
Annie Potts' character right there.
Yeah.
Talking about
at the end,
you know.
Talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
like, what happened? I was like, Beckman is checking out with Sigourney Weaver, and Stance went back to his bookshop, which is being funded by Ernie Hudson's character.
Right, right. He goes, he's still funding his book. Hey, he's going to turn a profit one day. I just know when she laughs. So.
I was, in a way, kind of waiting that one scene in the Extreme Ghostbusters where they had the real Ghostbusters come in and they did that sync loading of the proton pistols. I was kind of waiting for that.
Oh, okay, yeah,
If you ever seen the Extreme Ghostbusters, look for the two-parter when the real Ghostbusters meet the Extreme Ghostbusters.
You know what? I don't think I saw that. I've heard about that one. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had the latter-day voice of Eggman because, if memory serves me right, around that time, Lorenzo Lamas passed away. The original voice of Eggman, also Garfield.
Right.
Or did he was still working on Garfield at that time period? It's one of the two.
Did you see Zombieland Double Tap?
Yes.
The second. I'm just thinking of the Garfield movie, the Garfield interview at the end. With Bill Murray.
Yep.
Okay, everybody blames me for killing Bill Murray, but... it started that day there.
Oh, you're talking about getting blamed for. Every end of the year at my work, we have our bit of a Deadpool. Who's going to die before the end of the year?
Oh, God. Who actually died?
I picked Betty White, and on New Year's Eve... and there
you
was one,
son of a bitch.
There's one person went, "You did that!" I said, "What? Betty White died? Oh, God."
I don't know.
I'm going like, there's so much hype about her being 99, ready to turn 100. I'm going like, okay, she's not going to make it. They should have waited till she actually turned 100.
Yeah.
You didn't hear all that with George Burns or Bob Hope. You know, once they turned 100, that's when you heard the news. And, you know, they lasted for like another year or two each. And,
I don't know why they did that.
But
they
it was so much hype for her to hit 100. I'm going like, okay, this is like, this is a curse. In fact, 1 month later, hands me this T-shirt, and I'm holding it right now, of Betty White. With on the back, "Long Live the Queen." And I heard he's now back at work, so I'm thinking when I get over the COVID quarantine, I come into work wearing that shirt just to see his reaction.
Yep. Okay, really quick, we have less than 90 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. I want to thank Mad Viking for co-hosting. And like I say, without you guys, it's just me and Mad Viking just talking about this stuff amongst ourselves anyway. Just good to have some people along for the ride. You guys rock. We'll be back next Monday night, our usual time, 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Keep reading those comic books, those superhero novels. Watch those genre shows, the superhero movies, the good ones. See The Flash. It was okay. I think the Spider-Man movie that's out is better. The Spider-Man animated one that's out right now is better, but you know.
And both got
considering them. Most of what?
Both got them. Meh.
They both
rating.
Yeah,
that.
They both got them.
Yeah.
Flash and the Spider-Man got them. I thought the Spider-Man was good, but it was just Okay, I'm going to spoil it. It ends with the three words I figured I was going to see. To be continued. Because there was so much plot, and they throw so much at you. So, 10 seconds, anything you'd like to say, Mad Viking?
Tell your friends to listen to this show, and say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. And stay tuned, Greatest Generation Podcast next, and tune in to Dawn Radio, Embrace the Dawn. And don't forget, DawnCon's coming up in 9 days. Good night, everybody. I think we're in the after party.
All right.
All right, so we have to figure out when we can do the interview with...
You talk to him. He's still there.
Okay. I said when he's available. Yeah.
All right.
I guess I'll leave the after party on until he...
I got to get ready for the show.
All right, you do that. Can you hang up? Because if I end the show, I lose the chat.
Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right, good show. I will talk to you in a bit once I figure out what he's doing.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later. Have a good night, sir.
All right, see
you. Or I can disconnect you. Well, I can disconnect. You want me to disconnect you?
All right, that works.
All right, see you later. Good night.